Next up, we've got Brian with renumbering It Still Ain't There Yet.
Am I up and running? Am I talking loud enough? Yeah, okay. And I don't have anything on my little screen here, so I better press another button so I get a screen here. You got nothing? Now everybody's got it. Yeah, sounds like the gain's a little bit high. So, the background to this talk is that there's another scaling problem besides the one you were just talking about, which is BGP4 is likely to blow up sometime, you know, between now and when the network gets to have 10 million or so nodes on it. And so there's a routing research group which is worrying about what to do about preventing BGP4 blowing up, and that's another story. But that work, that research group reached a consensus, the only consensus it's reached so far, I believe, that whatever solution they propose should not require renumbering on the part of end-user sites. And that worries some of us for the following reasons. It's going to happen anyway. There is going to be renumbering. As IPv4 addressing enters its end game, and it doesn't matter how well Ellie and the other registries manage the registration of address transfers, they're going to happen. White market, grey market, or black market, there will be a lot of address transfers during the consolidation at the end of IPv4. That means people have to renumber. As IPv6 deploys, people will make mistakes in their numbering plans, which means they're going to have to renumber their sites. If you change service provider or add a new service provider and you can't use provider independent addresses because you can't justify it, you're going to have to renumber. A service provider itself might be forced to renumber by any similar sort of effect. You might just reorganize all the subnets on your site, which means you have to renumber everything. You might merge two networks into one, or you might split a network into two separate parts because of, you know, mergers, acquisitions, sell-offs of companies. And during IPv6 deployment, there's a specific case, which is if you change, say, from tunnels to native connectivity, you might be forced to renumber because you've got a new prefix, or you might switch between provider aggregated addressing and provider independent addressing. So there are a whole lot of reasons for why people might need to renumber. And strategically, I think it's very important to deploy techniques for IPv6 site renumbering reasonably soon, so that renumbering in IPv6 can be viewed as a relatively routine event by sites. Some of the mechanisms for scaling the routing system would require occasional or even frequent renumbering. Right. And the most demanding case is completely unplanned automatic renumbering, where there's simply a little sort of blip and you've got new addresses throughout your site. That may sound like science fiction, but, you know, it's not completely unthinkable. This is not exactly a new problem. Am I the only person who in the 1980s inherited a network set up basically using SunOS machines, which are all delivered, configured for network one? That was kind of hard to join that network to the internet without doing something. There was an RFC written in 1996 called Renumbering Needs Work. RFC 1900, which is a signal that John Postel actually thought this was an important problem, because he didn't give out nice round RFC numbers like that for nothing. 2005, there was an RFC published called Procedures for Renumbering an IPv6 Network Without a Flag Day. And there's a lot of other RFCs mentioning renumbering in between. But it's still a big pain. And of course, this is what we want to avoid. It's clearly not acceptable that renumbering puts your network down for any significant amount of time. So the draft that we're writing has four or five objectives. It's to summarize the renumbering mechanisms that are known for IPv4 and V6, describe the operational issues with renumbering, talk about what work is in progress to maybe make things better, and to write down a gap analysis, what do we actually need in the way of standards and maybe protocols and, of course, ultimately products to make renumbering simpler. It might lead to standardization work. It might just lead to operational recommendations. We don't know yet. It's a draft. So I don't know if I'm going to have time to go through all the slides. They'll be on the website, because this talk would probably take, an hour if I went carefully through each slide. I'll just sort of call out the headlines, and you can go and read the draft. Obviously, we got DHCP. One thing I do want to say is that in the DHCP world, there's two extreme philosophies, which I've called strong asset management and weak asset management. In strong asset management, basically, you have some kind of central database for the site, which contains basically everything, like MAC addresses and administrative information about users, which plug, which machine is supposed to be connected to. And you just pump this through an engine, and it out pops the tables for DHCP, DNS, access control lists, and anything else you want to automatically generate. The weak asset management is at the other extreme, where you've got no database, you just use DHCP and fully dynamic first-come, first-served mode, and you have to manually configure your server addresses, and probably you sort of patch up DNS by hand and patch up your ACLs by hand. So that's the other extreme, and obviously most real-world sites and networks are somewhere in between the strong and the weak model. In IPv6, you've also got stateless address auto-configuration, which is much simpler than DHCP from some points of view. It's designed originally for unmanaged, unattended networks. We used to call it the dentist's office scenario when we were designing it. PPP renumbers people, of course. Every time you hook up with PPP, you get a new address. DNS sort of helps with renumbering. It's elementary that if you're renumbering machines, you need to shorten the time to live of their DNS records, sufficiently long in advance that when the renumbering event happens, the TTLs are going to expire and so cached DNS entries will be thrown away, and hopefully people will come and get new ones. Of course, we also know that there are people who override DNS TTLs. Well, that's bad behavior, and they'll suffer for it by not being able to find the new address. Theoretically, you can use dynamic DNS and DNSSEC if you want real automation of DNS during a renumbering event. There's very little been done on router-related mechanisms for renumbering. It's a bit surprising. There's a couple of RFCs on router renumbering for IPv6, one which is a DHCP-based method and another which is ICMP-based, apparently not very much used as far as I can tell. I didn't find anything that's been really standardized for IPv4, so people just do it by using whatever router configuration mechanism they happen to have. The thing about IPv6 that's supposed to help with renumbering is you can have multiple prefixes simultaneously in operation on a site, which means you have multiple addresses for each machine. There are some issues around that, around the address selection rules in particular, and a nasty problem of exit router selection, because if you go out through the wrong exit router and the ISP concern is operating ingress address filtering, then the packets will be backhauled. So nobody's got a very clean solution to egress router selection for that. But the advantage of this is that if you're renumbering a site, you can overlap the old and the new address spaces for some convenient period of time to avoid flag day problem. And the other thing you can do with multi-addressing in IPv6 is use ULAs, which are unique local addresses, which replace the old site local format in IPv6. So things like printers can be given permanent IP addresses that will never change, however many times you change your external addresses. And I reckon we should have a best practice in IPv6 where you use ULAs for all network management purposes inside, so all the addresses you use to address switches and routers and so on would be ULAs which would never need to change, even if you renumber the externally visible addresses. But there's a basic design flaw in the internet, just in case you hadn't noticed. The basic design flaw is that it's obvious you should shorten address lifetimes during renumbering, because then you can more quickly respond to the change of address. But IP addresses don't have a built-in lifetime. DHCP gives you a finite lease. DNS gives you a finite time to live. But that information is never communicated to the upper layer software. Transport protocols don't know that an address is about to expire. Application programs don't know that an address is about to expire. So it is almost inevitable that the upper layer protocol, the stuff that users care about, receives a complete unpredictable surprise when a system's renumbered. So you are going to lose your TCP sessions, you're going to lose your UDP streams, and so on when renumbering occurs. And that's not going to get fixed anytime soon, because it's been like that for 30 years. So operational issues that we have seen, host-related, router-related, and others. Well, I won't go through all of this, but one point, for example, is that there's a whole lot of DHCP options. There's a couple of hundred of them defined, and 20 or 30 of them carry addresses. So it isn't enough just to think about the primary stuff in DHCP. You've got to look for all these other places where DHCP is carrying addresses, because they're going to change. DNS is prone to administrative errors and to people ignoring the TTL. And of course, applications that remember addresses will break. Okay? And the worst example is software licenses that use IP addresses as the key for finding out if you're respecting the license. I don't know if there are many of those systems still in existence. There were a lot of them a few years ago. But yeah. And that's all over the place in applications. Applications store IP addresses. In naughty application, it shouldn't store IP addresses, but they do. Routers, there's a whole RFC written in 1997 that discusses issues for renumbering around routers. Most of those issues still seem to be valid. The only big change is that in those days they couldn't assume that everyone had DHCP, because they didn't in 1997. But the main point that comes out of reading that RFC is you need systematic planning and administrative preparation before renumbering your routers. And a couple of notes. One is that addresses tend to be cached in routers, so even if you think you've got everything right, you've still got to restart the routers to clear out whatever is cached. And the other thing is that addresses used by configured tunnels and VPNs are very easy to overlook, because they're not what you think of first in your regular routing issues. Okay, NATs actually aren't as big a problem as you might think, because NAT state always times out anyway, so after a while NAT state will just time out. But the NAT itself, of course, might need to be renumbered and reconfigured. But at least the state of the NAT is going to die just when the TCP session dies anyway. Some stuff in the draft about mobility. If you believe that mobile IP matters, then there are some issues. If you don't believe that mobile IP matters, then there are no issues. It's sort of unfortunate, because basically what happens is the mobile station loses touch with its home base if the home base gets renumbered. If you think something's hard, just say multicast, which is the slogan that came into my head during the previous talk. Multicast actually helps a bit, in the IPv6 case because of the way IPv6 auto configuration works. But there are issues with multicast, particularly with the source-specific multicast, where there is a magic source address, which is characteristic of the multicast session, and that's going to change during renumbering. IPv4 multicast, I haven't found anyone who's willing to write the text yet, and I don't. Yeah, they're right. So maybe it doesn't matter. Then, strictly speaking, management issues. Static addresses are routinely embedded in configuration files and network management things like MIBs. Ideally, of course, you'd be running this strong asset management philosophy, and all these configuration files would be automatically generated when you turn the handle on your address management software. The ideal world does not exist. A subtle one is because if you're running routing policy of one kind or another, or you're running VPNs with other friendly sites, you're very likely to have in your configuration addresses from their site, and they're going to have addresses from your site in their configuration. So you have to tell all your friends when you're going to renumber so that they can also be ready to reconfigure these things. And, of course, some things may be very hard to find. For example, lots of your users may have configured printers with literal IP addresses built into their Windows nonsense, whatever. And you're going to have to tell them all those printers you set up 3 years ago that you forgot how to do, you have to do it again because they just got renumbered. It would be wonderful if everybody used names instead of addresses everywhere, except, of course, for DNS, its generation itself. Unfortunately, we have 20 years of history of not doing that. Right? And there's all kinds of administration issues, just tracking stuff down. And the last point is that there's a risk element, obviously because of the dependencies in renumbering. And you say risk element to an IT service manager and they get nervous. So renumbering carries intrinsic risk of things that you've forgotten. Security issues, I won't go through all of these, but firewall rules need to be updated. That's sort of obvious. Anywhere where you've got addresses embedded in security stuff. If you're in a spam whitelist, you need that to be updated. If you're in a spam blacklist, of course, renumbering may be your friend. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a subtle PKI. There's an extension in PKI certificates that can contain an IP address. Right, if you've used that, you're in trouble. Okay, so what are we doing in the ITF? Well, there's stuff going on. There's a proposal called SHIM-6, which will be an IPv6 multi-homing solution. Some people love and some people hate. Fred Baker officially hates it, I believe. It would actually simplify the problem of address overlap during renumbering for V6. There's a lot of work going on mobile ad hoc networks, which is interesting in itself. And if it all came to fruition, mobile ad hoc networks would indeed be capable of renumbering themselves because they pretty much have to be by their nature. The problem is this is going very slowly, this work. It seems to be quite complex and difficult to get right. There's a protocol coming up called NetConf for secure remote configuration. It's basically, using XML stuff over TLS in order to configure network devices in a standardized way. That could be quite powerful if it comes to fruition, because it would allow you to have centralized, reasonably well-organized configuration databases which were vendor independent, and then shoot them out using NetConf in a secure way to the network equipment. And the DNS people are looking at name server control protocol built on top of NetConf, which could do the same sort of thing for DNS servers. So there's some things on the horizon. But, there's a gap analysis in the document. For example, if we could persuade the entire application software industry to use a new API that uses names instead of addresses, a lot of the problems of renumbering would go away because the application software, at least, would continue working. And there's some more detailed issues there, which I refer you to the draft. to go through them. Well, one I might mention is the idea of a single registry per host for all address-based configuration. So instead of having to poke around all over a machine to find out where addresses were configured, they'd all be in one place, preferably not the Windows registry, preferably in something fairly straightforward. There are gaps in routers. NetConf might help to fill the configuration gap. If the MAN network comes to anything in the IETF, there might be something there for smaller sites that wouldn't mind being automatically renumbered. And we need to do more work on the router renumbering mechanisms to make them actually usable. Yep. Operational gaps. Well, I think we need DNSSEC out there. That's why I was digging at Keith, because I think that will make a lot of renumbering things less dangerous if you can at least be sure that the DNS stuff is secured. I think we need to encourage operationally that people actually run as close as they can to the strong asset management model where they actually know what they have so that they can generate configuration files reasonably automatically. I think there's a documentation gap. This is sort of a black art. And it would be nice if there was an O'Reilly guide or something to renumbering your site. And a little suggestion I put in is that it would be really nice if everybody who sells a product included renumbering instructions, you know, as a section in the manual. Just so that you didn't have to scratch your head and work out what to do. And, okay, gets back to telling other sites that you're changing your prefix. It would be really nice if there's a way for a site to announce to the world or to its friends, I'm changing my address prefix in a secure way. Maybe that would go through the registries in some sense, but it should be something that was, you know, reasonably standard thing to do. So I'm going to leave it there. Input requested. You can go to that URL or to tinyurl.com/numnum to find the draft, and the author's addresses are in the draft. And we'd be delighted to hear input from operational people, because that's really what we want to make this draft complete.
All right. I couldn't help but thinking that maybe this problem would go away if all the vendors stopped letting you put in manual IP addresses.
But I can put that in the draft if you want.
Yes.
You mentioned all the applications being changed to use names,
yeah.
Which just pushes it down to the renaming problem, doesn't it? Because domain names have a much shorter lifespan in companies presently than numbers.
There are certainly some evildoers whose domain names have very short lifespan. The thing is, if I'm trying to go to www.ibm.com, that's a reasonably stable name. It's been there for 20 or 30 years. There are others that flip. But if someone is... you win or you lose. It's just better computer science to use the name and resolve it to the address every time, because then, you know, if the name changes, you're going to have to deal with that anyway. So I think you win by using names, but you're right, even names aren't forever.
Any other questions?
Okay, well send your input, read the draft and send us comments, because we really want to hear from people.
Thank you very much, Brian.
You're welcome.